Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Mr. Perkins.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you? How you holding up?
Well, we just had mandatory masks issued last Friday. We have doubled the number of cases on the island. It's a small number, but still, it's a small island, so things are getting nervous. And yet we heard yesterday a report that the cases count in Florida and many other states may be absolutely bogus, way over estimates. And there was a TV station that looked at several different facilities around the state, and there's one hospital in Orlando where the state reported 98% of the people tested came back positive. When the news organization went to the hospital and asked them to verify their results, they were not 98, they were 6.7%. So what happens is that if you have COVID-19, and in this currently in the state of Florida, if you get tested, that's a case. If you get tested again, it's another case. And they had examples of people who were in hospitals who were tested virtually every day, and they were 15, 20, 30 cases attributed to the one patient. So now we have no idea.
Wow.
Just exactly how many people are affected.
Have you listened? By any chance, have you continued to listen to that show that I was so excited about, This Week in Virology, TWIV? Did you continue to listen to that at all?
I haven't continued, but I should go back to it. I apologize for that.
Today's episode, and I'm going to send you his paper, is exactly on this. This guy said something so brilliant, I'm sending it to you right now. He says for $1 a day, we can spit on pieces of paper. He's already spoken to the White House about this. You put these antibodies on the paper, you spit on it. Exactly what you said, the sensitivity on these machines is set so tight that you're just picking up on fragments. That's why pregnant women are testing positive. So he has found, and when you listen, there's a window of where the viral load, if you test yourself every day and you go from, and I'm just learning these numbers, right? If you go from 35 one day to 35 the next day,
mm-hmm.
You're kind of staying stable, right? But if you go from 35 to 25, as the number goes down, the viral count goes up. So he has
mm-hmm.
this all mapped out. So the way it would be is you'd spit on this piece of paper every single day, and especially for kids, there's only a tiny window where you're contagious, only a tiny little window. And so he said you need a shitty test all the time. I just sent you the paper.
Okay. All right.
It costs $1 a day.
Okay. So, I appreciate you giving me the time. Let's try and stay on track.
I will. I just get so excited.
No. I always enjoy talking to you. I've got a lot of things that I've got to do, and
yeah,
I've got a, you know, 45 minutes blocked for you to, and I'm going to make sure I get everything.
Okay, we'll do it.
So, how do you want me to introduce you?
You could just say, Stuart Tomk with CV Sciences, a publicly traded cannabinoid company. I mean, shorter is better. Stuart Tomk with CV Sciences, publicly traded.
And there's a website, CV Sciences. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, CV on YouTube. If they go to YouTube, CV Sciences at YouTube, they can see all the original content we're putting up.
Okay.
That way they can really get something
out of it. And your position?
Oh, I'm the Vice President of Science, Regulation, and Education. The Vice President of Science, Regulation, and Education.
All right. And today we want to talk about the 10 items that you think are important to make sure that you're healthy.
Yeah, with this one, I think it was the one that they sent over with the 7 tips for beating burnout.
Seven tips. 7 tips, you're right. I was thinking of something else. 7 tips. What's the best way to introduce it? 7 tips.
Yeah, 7 tips for beating burnout or managing stress. 7 tips for beating burnout or
stress. All right. I'm going to introduce that from the standpoint of people in the cannabis business, but also for other people in other businesses. But we're just going to talk about the stress that the cannabis industry has been in trying to operate, with not only with all the regulations, but being closed and open and closed and open, and put a very stressful environment on people.
Okay. Oh, good. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, great. I'll follow.
All right. So I'm going to start here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the conversation. And I want to welcome back a gentleman who's been with us a couple of times before. And he has something really important to talk about. Stuart Tomic from CV Sciences. And you can find out more about CV Science at their YouTube channel. Welcome to the program, Stuart. How are you?
I'm very well, Mr. Perkins. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, just call me Dan. I'm a quick story. I played in a PGA, a senior PGA tournament in Atlanta, and I had the chance to play with Tom Kite, U.S. Open champion, and I walked over and introduced him. I said, Mr. Kite. He said, no, Mr. Kite's my father. He's back in Texas. Just call me Tom. Just call me Dan. So with that out of the way, We're dealing in an incredibly stressful time in this country, and the people in the cannabis industry, which is your a big chart of your industry. By the way, he's in charge of science, and give me the rest of it properly.
Science, regulation, and education. I work in the regulatory department, so vice president, science, regulation, and education.
Super. Thank you for helping me there. When we look at the cannabis industry, not only are they going up and down in terms of one day the regulators think they might deregulate it. In other words, they say no. And then they work with a bank, and then the bank says, no, we can't work with you anymore. And the states say, well, you're an essential service, but you can't let people come in. You have to do curbside. Or in like Massachusetts, they closed down recreational for a while, and then they opened it. And so it's been as much turmoil in the cannabis industry. And yet these are all, most of these people are small entrepreneurs that own maybe one or a few dispensaries, or they're a grower. And it's been a difficult time for all of us. So I've asked Stuart to come on and talk about 7 things to deal with stress that not only can help people in the cannabis industry, but can help us in our everyday lives and help other people in other businesses. So let's start with 1, Stuart.
Well, the first thing is to communicate. And I want to make sure that I'm making it clear that even on the CBD side of the equation, CV Sciences, our ticker is CVSI, we've been one of the first publicly traded CBD companies. Dan, we have not had an easy road at all. In fact, the CBD gang has been faced with one unexpected hurdle after another. So I just want to say out loud that we hear every other person in this industry, including yourself. I mean, you put your head on a chopping block early on to be talking about this subject. So that's why the 7 tips for beating burnout come from the place of love and also our experience in nutrition. We're a life science company. And we were built out of the dietary supplement industry. So we were the first people to claim that hemp CBD belonged as a dietary supplement next to fish oil. So these tricks that we're sharing with you are tips or things we share in the health food store world. 1, communicate. 2, change your diet. 3, turn off the TV. 4, try relaxing activities. 5, get some exercise. 6, get some more sleep. 7, there are other supplements besides cannabis. We'll talk about them. But 1, we've got to learn how to communicate. Everything you just said is true. Every unexpected hurdle is being thrown at us. So let's learn to communicate better with supervisors and the authorities and relevant coworkers about specific stressful conditions that we are experiencing. Let's start working to change expectations to reach compromise or solutions.
Stuart, I have to ask you a question here. I want to speak to you about a friend of mine who I've known for a long time, and being sequestered as the way we are in Florida because of our age, he and his wife had had to spend, obviously, virtually all day together, except going to the grocery store or the doctor or maybe the pharmacy. And what he found was that even today, that there are strong differing opinions within the household. And he said to me, you know, I don't know how to deal with where my wife has very strong opinions about masks and everything else, and I don't happen to agree with what she says, but I'm concerned about the tension in the household because we're so close, in close proximity, literally 24 hours a day. So you talk about communications. What give me some tips so I can talk to my friend, or if he's listening, he can hear today, but other people I'm sure have found, maybe they didn't know the spouse that they were married to, but the last 4 or 5 months in sequestration has brought out information and ideas and thoughts that they never thought their spouse. So how do we deal with that interpersonal communications, which can be difficult at times?
Well, the first thing that came to mind was how we, those of us, myself, in the nutritional health food store world, which was considered alternative medicine or bad form or snake oil salespeople. Come on, you remember, Dan. They made
Absolutely.
Fun of hippies or anyone that – come on, let's face it. So I've heard for 30 years of things about – it's just a calorie. Calories in, calories out. An M&M is the same as a fig. Come on, let another person, I like sports as much as anyone, let another person blast you in the face over and over and over in your brain to prove that you're a man. Don't worry, you can sleep when you're dead. You don't need to drink that much water. Alcohol's not that bad for you. I'm just saying every single thing that they threw at us, like that was oversimplified, ends
right.
up being wrong.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I want to share. The first thing that came to mind is we have this challenge, and it's bringing up these deep feelings about whether we're more open, whether we're more closed, whether we're more afraid, whether we're more forgiving. So what a chance to practice, seek to understand rather than to be understood. That prayer, the St. Francis prayer, I'm not trying to go off a rail and get myself in trouble here with anybody, but the idea of seek to understand rather than to be understood, I would say what you just said, everybody's experiencing that. So hey, mm-hmm. take care of yourself. Hey, if I'm taking care of myself, that's an act of resistance. Whether you believe in the mask or you don't, you still have to take care of yourself. Whether you believe there is a virus or you don't, you still have to take care of yourself. Whether you believe in the germ theory or the terrain, meaning your immune system is supreme and king, you still have to take care of yourself. You know what that might mean? That you have a different belief system than the person that you've lived with your whole life. What a chance to really join forces as a couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I hear this as I do lots of different radio shows throughout the week, and I hear this conflict in households over masks. And, you know, there was a study yesterday that I saw that something like 73% of Americans aren't sure they want to take the vaccine because they're concerned that it's been developed so rapidly. We've heard all these stories about how long it takes to develop, and you need the clinical trials and the testing to see what the long-term side effects are going to be. And can we really tell that in 3 months or 4 months? So there's a lot of nervousness in the system and a lot of huge amount of confusion, which adds to the pressure in the household or in the business. You know, this morning as I was out, I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about some states are now saying if you're an employer and you do not provide reasonable protection for your employees, you can be sued. So add another pressure in the relationship between employer-employee in this difficult time, because I've believed from the very beginning, we spent trillions of dollars on trying to be able to treat patients when they come into the hospitals, but we don't have a lot of money allocated to how do we deal with people going back to work. And give you a quick example, state of California has about 6.4 million elementary and high school students. There is no program at the moment of how you're going to keep the children safe if they go back to school. They don't have a mask program. They don't have a sanitizer program. Nothing. They're talking about, I saw a thing last night where they're talking about putting a fan that sprays disinfectant in the air. But just think about that going to offices. We're not set up to cope with this kind of sequestration, social distancing, and mask and all that stuff. So let's move on. What's your second point?
Well, the next thing, and it bleeds into your first question, and I want to make sure that I answer this in a succinct way, because I've spent my whole life with what you just described. I was the wacko, oddball person that was drinking wheatgrass juice or super blue-green algae or taking care of myself, and I was doing the wrong thing instead of drinking Pepto-Bismol. I'm using that, you know, so my suggestion is, if you really feel like you're on the right track, taking care of your health, you don't have to tell other people what to do because you're confident in what you're doing. So change your diet. No more nervous snacking on candy or cookies. I hope we can all agree. Instead of getting frustrated about whether it's keto or vegan or whatever, how does this sound? My mentor, Dr. Hector Lopez, MD, one of the smartest people I've ever met, came back from a giant conference on nutrition. I said, Doc, save me time. What did you learn? You were there for 3 days. He said, here, listen closely. Eat less, more. Okay, that's simple. So eat less. Don't eat as many calories. Don't eat Pam and Spam and Ding Dongs and Chicken Nuggets and Hoes and Krispy Kremes. And
Damn.
Add some more plants into our diet.
Oh, my
and let's
favorite
just try
thing.
To remember that the I know, but the food inside, like the immune system in the gut, that's where the nutrition people can really help the cannabis community, because we've known of things for years before cannabis was the big thing that you could eat, like, I don't know, fruiting bodies of mushrooms, you know, and there are now even mushroom supplements, or there's supplements that are, you know, based on food that you would eat that would cause an immune stimulation in the gut that would help strengthen your entire body. The next one, 3, we've talked about this before. Turn it off. Turn off the television. Turn off the web. We recorded a video on YouTube with the colonel who was on the ground when SARS broke out in 2003, Colonel Dr. Michael Lewis, and he says, you have to turn off the television. And he's an epidemiologist, infectious disease hunter, who ran the Pentagon. He said to me, Stu, turning off the TV and stop surfing the web may be more important right now than changing your diet or learning how to communicate, because we're taking in too much negative information.
Yeah, I agree. Number 4?
Hard to do.
Yeah.
4, we have to try relaxing. We have to try relaxing. I mean, you go back, the meditation, the deep breathing. There are many different breathing modalities online. We have to try relaxing. Even though it sounds impossible, we can do it. Try Tai Chi. Try yoga at home. Get some exercise. You know, if you can't find a place to walk outdoors, I was so inspired by the human who ran the marathon on his balcony in Italy. I think most of us saw that video. But if you're not moving around, you're going to disrupt the neurotransmitters in the brain that are required for proper brain cell to brain cell communication. It won't make sense what's going on in the world if you're not moving around. You make brain-derived nootropic factor, and listen to this, Dan, when you exercise, you make cannabinoids in your body. You make a compound called anandamide, which speaks to the THC receptor. That's right. When you have the runner's high, you're high on your own supply. So when you've talked to people that exercise all the time, they say, I don't need cannabis. I feel electric. That's because you can flood the brain with anandamide, the bliss neurotransmitter to deal with stress, hit the CB1 receptor, and you're basically creating high on your own supply. And that got me motivated to start exercising again. And all that will help you sleep more. If you don't sleep right, you will never, ever, ever recover. And that's where CBD before bedtime might make sense for some people.
Right.
And then finally, look at the other plants. If you like plants, learn about ashwagandha, chamomile, kava kava, lavender. Dan, did you know that 80 milligrams of lavender a day, one little capsule is equal to 0.5 milligrams of Valium? Did you know that, lavender?
No, I didn't. So these 7 points, are they on your website?
There's some videos on the YouTube, but it's really Colonel Lewis. You can listen to him. He's on YouTube, and all of our medical experts too. I just want to make it, you know, give people a taste of the original content that they'll learn about. And we don't sell ashwagandha or chamomile or kava kava or lavender. I just want to show people that the health food store world and taking care of yourself is now no longer an option. Taking care of yourself is now mandatory. The only way we can navigate the storm is to take care of ourselves.
So unfortunately, Stuart, as always, we're stuck with a clock, and the content has been just phenomenal. So we've been speaking with Stuart Tomic from CV Science, and you can go to his YouTube channel, and it's CV Science. What else is in the YouTube name?
Yeah, CV Science is at YouTube. Yeah, just go to YouTube. CV Science is on YouTube. You can look at Plus CBD Oil, but I'm not here to sell anything. Go to pluscbdoil.com. But on YouTube, you see all the original lectures.
And you have a website where people can buy product?
Yes, that's pluscbdoil.com. And it does link through the YouTube page. So you can go to the YouTube page, watch some of the videos, and connect.
Is that the word plus or the plus sign?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just PLUSCBD, pluscbdoil.com, PLUSCBDoil.com.
And how can they follow you on social media?
Well, they can follow us on Instagram. They can follow us on Facebook. They can follow us on Twitter. And our medical and scientific advisory team, they respond. So please, you can follow us on all the social media channels. We're all over the place.
Super. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dan. Love being on your show.
Now, if you didn't get hear of all this terrific interview with Stuart, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com. And you can hear him, not only for this show, but other appearances have been on the show by going to the archive section. And remember that W420 has a daily update over through either Spreaker or through W420 Radio or through SoundCloud. So those are all the places that you can begin to hear the shows. And we have a new show every Saturday at 420. We'll be right back. And okay, now we're going to do part two. Is there anything that you specifically would like to talk about in part two that's on your agenda that you want to do?
Yeah, on part two, I want to try to contextualize the other things that we've had before and why hemp and cannabis are truly the disruptor, that all of those other things that are available have some benefit, but they're relatively limited in comparison to what the cannabinoids can do. That way we can talk about cannabinoids helping with COVID.
Okay, we'll do that. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, me too. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the conversation. And joining us again is Stuart Tomic from CV Sciences. And we want to talk about the benefits that using CBD or cannabis might have on the impact of COVID-19. Stuart, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Dan. It's so exciting to be here. And we are lucky to be able to have this conversation. What I mean by that is because the law is changing, and because the interest in cannabis is coming out of the shadows, we are able to really look at how the cannabinoids are different than the other compounds in nature that we all had access to before the cannabinoid disruption. What do I mean by that? The other things that I rattle off quickly, like ashwagandha or kava kava, some of these other things that have been used and are used to help people deal with stress, they contain different molecules. They contain these alkaloids, and that they behave differently. And what I love so much and what scientists are so excited about with cannabinoids is that they are immuno- and neuromodulatory. So they modulate the immune system in a way that's different than, say, global steroids. steroids can shut down the entire immune system. And did you see that report a couple of weeks ago, Dan, that showed a relatively inexpensive steroid had some tremendous treatment effect with patients that were suffering the cytokine storm? Did you catch that story? A very inexpensive steroid, right?
Yes.
You saw that, right?
Yes.
Now, why is that? Why am I making that point? Cannabinoids, they work more like that, where they don't block everything, they modulate. So when we say immunomodulatory, you want something that's going to modulate the hyperactive immune response, and you also want something that may also have some powerful anti-inflammatory effects. And rarely do you get those things. Never have I seen that you get those things together. And this is where people have a tendency to oversell and overhype the potential benefit of cannabinoids. However, I'm sure you've seen reports recently that they're looking at different cannabinoids under the lens of COVID as something to help modulate this immune inflammatory response. And we might end up seeing drugs approved by the FDA that are derived from cannabis to treat this and other virulent conditions, and that will really lend credibility to all of the years people have supported the plant.
You know, Stuart, speaking of that situation, I had on the show about maybe a month ago, head of a research team in British Columbia that is doing exactly that. They're doing a Canadian, in essence, Food and Drug Administration controlled study on the impact of cannabis on a treatment for COVID-19. And what he was saying to me was that COVID-19 is a functionally an infection. And as you just pointed out, cannabis has tremendous ability to fight infections. So they're doing the phase 1 trial, and they hope to be in phase 2 by the end of the summer. But if we could use an all-natural product, cannabis, to attack the virus and clear up the infection, we would have a huge opportunity to add more legitimacy to the cannabis marketplace and what it can do to try and heal people. Interesting, in the current show that's on the air right now, I did a story from Dr. Oz where he talked about he had a meeting. He didn't understand why the government was so opposed to legalizing cannabis. And initially he was not, quote, in favor of it, but he couldn't give a rationale why it should be. He met Montel Williams, who has been on cannabis treating his illness, and he monitored him for months just to see what was happening. And he finally called and had an interview with people from the CDC and from FDA, and they both admitted it was bureaucracy that was creating a problem. He says, this is such a good thing. We need to get out of the road and allow it to be expanded and modified. And they both agreed. But it hasn't happened. But I understand what you're saying, that we find out more things about cannabis every day and what it can do other than just pure recreational. So
can't wait to come back on your show, because as a publicly traded company that's playing both horses, the pharma side and the dietary supplement side, and maybe eventually the recreational side, I hope as more people are listening, they can hear there's something here for everyone. There's a huge market here.
I believe that both with cannabis and CBD, we have not given either one of them justification. I mean, I know that we have approximately 46 states that now allow CBD to be sold. The other four are still haven't gotten the legislation done. But with my own personal experience, we talked about on our last show about CBD for sleep and taking it before bedtime. I, as you know, have a foundation called Songs and Stories. And one of the things I suggest to veterans who have sleep deprivation, which is a huge problem for decades after your service, get yourself a Fitbit so you can monitor the quality of your sleep. and think about using CBD just before you go to bed and see if it helps. I get lots of feedback from people who said I've slept better. I don't sleep well every night, but I've had more good night's sleep using the CBD product than I can ever remember. And yet we don't have anybody per se, you're talking about it, but the government's not talking about it. Even the VA won't allow veterans or active duty to use CBD because if there's any trace of THC, they could be discharged and lose their pension. So it's still a lot of stupid things that are going on that are stymieing the ability to bring this wonderful drug, natural drug, to the marketplace to help people with so many problems.
Well, that's the reason why the science is so important. And because I've had this experience one other time in my life, I'm biased and I think I know what's going on. Let me explain. I worked in the fish oil industry for nearly a decade, and I watched grandma's cod liver oil turn into a big-time seller, became a competitive market, turned into an FDA-approved drug, turned into another FDA-approved drug, which turned into standard of care. And now they were making fun of you for wasting your money on omega-3, and now they have a prescription for pure EPA, 98% EPA that lowers death 25%, that's a prescription approved by the FDA. So we are still early. We're very early in the investment. We're early in the cycle. And I think that the rate limiting factor is the science. Because as you know, Dan, and some of your listeners might know, that the reason that we're still hung up with the federal government is because of these international treaties that go back that we signed that said we weren't going to trade in narcotics. And so we doubled down again in 1970, I believe, one or two with the psychedelic drug treaty. In any case, like, this is all going to get changed as the science proves that this is something that can help humanity. So that's why we have to keep beating the drum and knocking on FDA's door and knocking their door down, rather than just standing out in the street saying that you people need to give us our plant.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think it makes a heck of a lot of sense. I want to ask you a question that will probably eat up the rest of our time, and that's okay. Tell us about some of the products that you have and what you've been experiencing is what's how they're helping people. Because that's really what we want to do, is we want to try and provide information to people, a place to go, and to look about a product that might help a particular ailment or problem they have. So tell us some things about some of your products.
Yes, we have a gold soft gel. We call it our extra strength. It's a patented process where we've taken full spectrum food fiber hemp extract and we distill it through short path distillation. We do this. We created, this is our own secret sauce, our Coca-Cola product. So we're using the seed and the stem and the stalk, so we have all the fatty acids and the plant sterols. We have 500 bioactive compounds working together. Why? We're competing against people selling pure isolated CBD, right? We're not in the powder business. We're in the hemp extract business. So we've taken this gold oil, and we've actually subjected it to formal toxicology work. We published in the Journal of Toxicology. Then we conducted a randomized control trial. So we gave one gold soft gel, only 15 milligrams of CBD, and a whole bunch of naturally occurring hemp bioactives to 65 healthy people, and they ate less. They ate less. They felt more satisfied. They slept better and longer, and they self-reported enhanced quality of life, and their HDL cholesterol, good cholesterol, went up. So that we published that in the Journal of Dietary Supplements. That's available. Then we published safety data where we tracked the sale of 5 million bottles of the same product. So let's get this right. We selected it, we grew it, we extracted it, we made it, we proved it was safe, we conducted a randomized control trial, then we sold 5 million bottles, and publish those safety results in the Journal of Dietary Supplement, proving that it was safe. So all you can say right now about CBD that's a dietary supplement is, A, FDA still says it's not a dietary supplement. I'll say that again. Mm-hmm. FDA says it's still not a dietary supplement. So what do you do if you're a company like CD Sciences? You act like it is. And everything I just explained to you is what will be required when they say, can you prove it's a dietary supplement? They're going to say, can you prove it's safe? Can you prove it's effective? Did you sell a whole bunch of it? Did you track the results? Can you hand us the paperwork? The answer is yes. So CV Sciences, CVSI, is early on in this, as every other company is early on, because FDA still says it's not a supplement.
Right. Are they as aggressive about condemning it as they have been, or are they talking it?
Oh, no, they're so distracted with what's going on right now. That's why you have to just make high-quality products and then publish science. So that's what we do, and I know I almost seem like the anti-salesperson, but I want people to go to PubMed.gov, PubMed.gov, and read about the work we've done. I don't know if you saw this. We did an open-label pilot trial with like 80 people using 15 milligrams a day, and 80% of them reported a reduction in anxiety. Do you know what that could mean for public health right now with what's going on? For $1 a day, people could manage their stress? Whoa!
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. Agreed.
That's cool.
So
and
they
finally,
can buy
a roll-on. We have a roll-on. We took. Yeah, you can buy it at pluscbdoil.com, pluscbdoil, or your local health food store.
And I can personally attest to the roll-on because I use it every day, and I have a neck problem, and it helps me every day. And I had a shoulder problem, and it helped me. So I'm not. It's not a paid endorsement, ladies and gentlemen. It's just I'm telling people I use it, and it worked for me. So right now we're almost out of time.
And real quick,
so,
can I say one thing about this? One thing about the roll-on, please, really quick.
Thank you,
because a lot of natural shoppers would not use that product, and I'll tell you why. Because it's an over-the-counter camphor and menthol. It's Bengay mixed with CBD. So it's nature and science. I mean, it's really – is that a drug? Right? You know, is it a supplement? What is it? It's in a weird new area. And so that's
right.
Why I wanted you to try that, because the skin is loaded with these receptors, and you might get as much pain relief just rubbing that on topically and not take it internally at all. For a lot of people, maybe more conservative people, more scared people, more religious people, they can have that benefit and then maybe get more comfortable with the plant, decaf instead of regular, the hemp plant. We call it decaf.
Okay. So they can get, where can they buy that again, Stuart?
PlusCBDOil.com. It's the roll-on, PlusCBDOil.com, the roll-on.
And I'm sorry to say, Stuart, we're out of time again. So we've been speaking to Stuart Tomick from CV Science. And what's the website again to buy product, Stuart?
PlusCBDOil. That's P as in Paul, LUSCBDOil.com, PlusCBDOil.com, and YouTube, CV Charlie Victor Sciences at YouTube.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today, Stuart.
My pleasure, Dan.
If you missed part of this interview, you can go to W420 Radio Network and you can hear this show, and go to the archive section and you can hear other shows that Stuart has been on talking about his terrific line of products. We'll be right back. And we're done.
Hey. God, you're good, man. You're
Did
good.
You get what you wanted?
Oh, yeah, what's great is, I told you this before, and I'm not flattering you, but it's the depth of knowledge that you've read a lot and you've had experience that you're bringing. Mm-hmm. People don't want to listen to anything scripted anymore. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just great. That's why I'm really looking forward to your show. Thank you.
We're up to almost, on one of our distribution networks, we're up to about 700,000 listeners a month, and with others, we're probably approaching 850,000 a month and growing at about 13%. So we think maybe by sometime to the fall, we'll approach a million listeners a month.
Well, are there spots? Can we advertise on your show somehow?
Sure. Yeah. Just you pick a product and you can have, we have, when my partner and I decided to do this, we decided that I know this is probably going to sound like a crazy business model. We only have 4 minutes of commercial advertising at maximum, per quarter hour, so that we could do maybe 12 minutes, but in an hour. And but we don't want to do that. So what we're in your case, since you've got the CBD product, you would probably be better off working on a national sponsorship so we can bring you into all of our distribution channels. And we'd be happy to talk about a product. You know, I did talk to you some time ago about the possibility of sponsoring Dr. Jordan, but at the time we talked, things were a little tight within the company. Have things gotten any better?
No. I mean, yeah. I mean, not to that point. Like, that was my department, by the way, the spokespeople, mm-hmm. the medical spokespeople. And so mm-hmm. that's exactly in my wheelhouse. So no, we're not yet in a place to do that, but they're so focused on the internet now that the idea that if you have a sponsorship package of some kind where we could do some advertising,
sure.
we could run some ads and, you know, have some of our other medical experts on and, you know, codify more of our relationship, that's something I do have some influence over.
Okay. Do you have a sense of what a budget might be?
No, they're open to kind of whatever. Like, we've done a lot of different radio, so it all depends on the mix. Like, for example, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and he's best friends with Dr. Oz. I've done mm-hmm. his show for like 20 years, and he finally really sold our product. But it took years and years and years and years for him to be willing to try, okay? And his podcast goes global, and I believe now that it's not nearly as important as it used to be because everyone has access to the same internet. So what used to be a very expensive show, right, it used to be a lot of money to be on his show, and you could never decide when you're going to be on, and he would charge like $25,000 a year or something, and you never know when you're going to be on the show, and they've run a few ads. And then there's other shows that we only pay for the booking, so we are so all over the place. It's
okay.
If they see the value in it, they'll do it. That's the point. And you already have a good base, and you're out there.
But I think that we're literally in conversations. I was on the phone with them before you called in. We're working with a manufacturer who's doing a cannabis product and has a portfolio of cannabis products that we have somebody else that we're working on creating a state specific network on cannabis. Mm-hmm. You can't really advertise cannabis nationally, but you can create, and we have the ability to create literally virtual private networks, even down to neighborhoods, in a specific state.
Could you advertise CBD nationally?
Oh, sure. No, that's the point. We're looking at two different business models. The one business model is how do we help the local dispensary get into radio when they can't do it under the traditional means? And then the other is there are people who because the nature of cannabis is what we call state specific, you can't advertising it nationally. The only product that you can advertise nationally is CBD products. And so the business model for running CBD advertising is dramatically different than the business model for running local dispensary advertising. In your case, with your CBD product line, it would be natural because I can bring you exposure to our almost 700,000 listeners every month. I have some other distribution that I can bring you to. I want to ask you, and maybe you can't answer the question. I have one specific distribution that is takes our show and live streams it on a group of networks that they control all over the world. And his business model is not so much that they're interested in buying advertising time on their networks, is trying to find content married to something that they can sell to their listeners. So the question then becomes to you, in your CBD product, one, can you ship internationally? Because almost 29% of their business, their listeners are overseas. We're now 10% of our listeners are overseas, based on what we're hearing from services like iHeartRadio and others. So can you ship overseas if somebody sends an order? You obviously have a website so you can do e-commerce. Can you do e-commerce internationally on your CBD products? And if we set up with you for a couple of these networks special codes, are you in a position that you could pay them a commission for whatever they sell?
Yep. Yep. We're trying to get that doing. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We're going to be asking offer codes. That's the future of everything.
I understand, but do you have that now?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't we do this?
We haven't told. We've only implemented it. We haven't given it. Here's the problem. We haven't given a code out other than ourselves, but we have the technology. We have the computers to do it, and I know what you're talking about.
Well, I was just thinking is that we have our big network, which gives us about 700,000 listeners. We have two opportunities. We would use our show, and we would sell advertising on our show maybe twice. We could also do a segment sponsor where we bring you on or somebody else from the company, scientists or whatever, and do a special. We can also the relationship with we have with the network owner, I can buy time on the rest of his network. And I can buy it at a very, very inexpensive price so that I could literally put you on his network all the time at different times of the day. Now, I might be able to tell you I can obviously tell you for sure when you're going to be on our show. I don't know if Stuart can give me a specific, but we can do it such a cost-effective basis across an entire network. It's something we should do. So let me think about a domestic proposal for our networks, and then lay out the concept of what we could do for the international network, who is more interested in receiving compensation for participation,
and then we can help with that.
And well, we're obviously going to have to help because we're going to send it. We're going to drive that network to your e-commerce website, and there's got to be some kind of a code so that we can track that person came as a result of our Enlightenment Network relationship. But as I said, our listenership is growing overseas, and they have a huge – we did a show with him just to give you some ideas, Stuart. This was probably – I want to say before the virus really hit hard, everybody was still trying to figure out what it was. I think it was in February. We did a pilot show with him on his global network and specifically to South Korea and Indonesia. And in one episode, we drew 480,000 listeners internationally. I mean, it's just you have the voice
for it too.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, forget about my voice. When you think about it, of all the things that you've, and I'm not reaching for a compliment. I'm just telling you what we hear all the time is that when you listen to what's out there and you listen to us and what we do, the quality of show that we produce, we're heads and shoulders over an awful lot of people in the cannabis radio space. In terms of production quality. Is that what you're saying?
In the radio. I'm a full-time guest. I've been a guest for 20 years. I've never been a host. I've been a guest. So when I hear someone that really has breadth and depth and you can throw out the questions, you know, there's only a handful of people that can rip it all up, and then you start interviewing the person to find out if they're going to be good content for you. And it makes the guests better. That's why I like being on your show.
Yeah, I mean, we hear it all the time. Is they didn't realize that. I mean, our goal and objective was to produce a network quality, big time radio network quality show, and we work very hard to try and do it. We don't always succeed, but more often than not, we do. And people, our audience is growing, 13% a month. So, let me talk to my partner, and we'll try and figure out a national sponsorship for you for your how. I know you sent me some samples on what you have, but if off the top of your head, how many products would be important for you to get national exposure on?
I would say probably about five or six.
Okay. All right. And are they just those five distinctly different?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, we're about to – I'm going to share some non-public information with you that you can't buy or stock with, okay?
Okay.
We're about to launch some immune products that don't have CBD in them. So if you combine CBD and then the traditional Chinese formula we're going to use for viral replication, and then there's an endocannabinoid your body makes called PEA, which they're using to test on COVID right now. It's an endocannabinoid that's an antihistamine. So we'll be selling CBD, CV Acute, and CV Defense, and then the roll-on. So you're going to have something for your stress risk, for the viral replication. You're going to have something to strengthen your daily defense that's going to have mushrooms in there, the PEA, selenium, vitamin A, vitamin D for all the barrier defense, and then the roll-on for when you're in pain. So it could be a package. So we're not just going to be hitting the same exact cannabinoid drum. Now we're going to be able to use our experience in nutrition in general to help outside of the ECS.
How far can you go in terms of a treatment for symptoms of coronavirus?
I mean, I think when we get these finished products here, I'll send you a box right away. I think our package is about as good as anything that I can see that's over the counter, because what we're trying to do is not sell people 50,000 milligrams of vitamin C. You can go get that on your own. We're trying not to sell 50,000 IUs of vitamin D. You can go get that on your own. So we're trying to bring some things that just people never, ever, ever see. So I think we have something very unique.
Okay, but let me rephrase my question. Obviously, I did a poor job of asking that particular question. What I'm saying is, if and I'm just talking off the top of my head, whatever this product is called, if I introduced it on the program and we had a commercial, and we talked about dealing with symptoms of COVID-19, if you contract it, are we going to be in a position to say that this will help relieve some of the symptoms of COVID-19 should you contract it?
What we can say per FTC, because this is now where I've spent my whole life, we can say that this formula is the most widely used traditional remedy for colds and flus on earth that's backed by hundreds of clinical trials and even the World Health Organization. We have to be careful linking the brand to COVID-19. You can talk about the ingredients in relationship to immune response. So it gets to be a nuanced way that by the time we get there, we would already have, like, for example, Colonel Dr. Michael Lewis, I mentioned him to you before, just recorded a commercial for us on this product. So we're going to have him, my name is Colonel Dr. Michael Lewis, I ran the Pentagon, you know, pictures of him on the ground when SARS broke out. So it'll all be insinuated. You know, you've got to have a good defense. We're fighting a silent enemy staring right into the camera. So there are ways that we can do it, but we have to be crafty.
I understand. Okay. So let me put my thinking cap on it. Is the commercial done?
As soon as it's done, I can get it over to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Not done yet.
All right, so...
But you'd be like one of the first people that we'd be kind of... And then just so that I'm clear, because I want to make sure to set expectations, since I get to run this little X-Files department, the second you get me whatever proposal, then we're going to have to bring in, you know, the digital team and the marketing people and, you know, and that stuff.
Okay, not a problem. All right, thank you.
But I'll be the point person, okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
I love
thank
your show,
you for,
and it's great to hear your voice.
Good show. Thank you. Take care.
I see you, Dan.
Bye. Bye.
Ciao. Bye-bye.
I just finished a section for the show with Stuart Tomnick, who is the chief science officer for CV Science, which is a publicly traded company. And we just finished the show and then we started talking. He wants me to put together a proposal for their CV product line to be advertised nationally. And confidentially, yeah, since it's a public company, you can't do anything with this. They have developed a combination of various remedies that's going to be used to treat symptoms of COVID-19. All natural. So anyway, I'm going to play with, I want to get this other thing off to Michigan. But I talked to him about doing a national product, and I told him, you know, he said, can we buy time? And I said, yes. And I said, we probably want to do a national product since CBD is available in 46 states. We'd want to talk to you about doing that. And he really likes the show a lot. And he likes my style and approach to dealing with it. So I think this is something we should follow. So we could have another shot at a national sponsor. So we might actually make some money off this puppy. No, I've got to do this. I've got to lay out a proposal, and what I think I'm going to do is I'll try drafting something. I won't be as wordy as Minnesota or Michigan, but I'll draft something, get it off to you, and see if you like that or the direction I'm going, and then we'll set up a conference call with Stuart. He will be the point person if this thing goes through. So, if you go back and look at the archive section, he was been on maybe one or two times, and we did a big email blast with a picture of him on the front and our corporate logo. And he's a very good, very knowledgeable, very good interview. I'll work out something and try and get off to you today's, Thursday, maybe by sometime this weekend, and then we'll get it off to Stuart early next week. Now, do I need anything other than what you've sent me to finish out the memo? Okay. All right. Well, you know, we can at least start there, and then we can have a more detailed conversation of things that I missed that you might want to have in order to lay out the media and everything else. And if we get a commitment, I was thinking about this, and I don't know whether you do this you've done it in the agency business. Do you ever ask for an upfront commitment in terms of dollars? So is it worth to put like $5,000 on the table as far as an initial commitment or 10? If you don't think it's a good idea, that's fine. I'm just trying.